Matthew chapter 13, I have in mind this morning more than one parable, and I don't know how far we'll get, and most of these are fairly familiar to you, but I think they're very important. It goes right along with where we've been for a few weeks now, off and on, talking about the culture that we live in and how, as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, how we are different and how we must make the effort to separate ourselves from not people necessarily, sometimes that's required, but separate ourselves from the philosophy of the culture, the philosophy of the world around us, and how that seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness is a principle that we are to allow to permeate every aspect of our lives. And now, so I want to start with this one in chapter 13 of Matthew, the parable of the sower and the seed. And then again, it's very familiar to you, but let's look at this for just a minute or two before we maybe move on to a couple of others. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. As I often try to encourage you to do, let's try to put ourselves into the scene. Put ourselves here. We're in the midst of the multitude, and Jesus is in a ship just out from the multitude who are standing on the shore. We're on the shoreline standing, and Jesus is in a ship out there in front of us. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, you know what a parable is? We looked at the 10th chapter of Proverbs, I think it was, this past Wednesday night. And parables are very similar to Proverbs in that they teach a lesson. Parables are not necessarily a true event or a real event. Let me put it that way, a real event. They teach principles. They teach a truth by using commonplace events, but maybe not necessarily events that actually happened. When we look at the parables that Jesus used to teach us certain principles, we need to first of all get the broader picture. We don't want to fall into a trap of picking out every single part of a parable and try to make it something, make it represent something. We need to be careful. We need to get the broad picture. We need to get the broad lesson, and then we can begin to slice it up a little bit, maybe get a little more detailed out of it. Here's the parable on this occasion. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. This particular parable, we are going to be able to see some details because it's a quite lengthy parable. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You're on the shore. Jesus is speaking this parable to you. Do you have ears to hear? Are we going to hear what Jesus has to say to us? There's a lesson to be learned. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Do you have ears to hear? Has it been given unto you the ability, the desire to hear what the Master has to say? If it has, then hear what the Master has to say. Listen to what he is saying to us. A very familiar parable. Look in verse 17. Again, the question is asked, I'm asking the question, who hath ears? Do you have ears to hear? Then listen. Jesus says in verse 17 that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. For Friends, we have something so precious, something precious that we have God's Word, we have the account of Christ coming into the world and the recorded account of his teachings. Many prophets and righteous men have desired to look into those things, have desired to see those things, have desired to understand those things, and have not. You have. We have. So let's hear what Jesus has to say. He begins to explain the parable of this sower, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. We have four scenarios here, don't we? First of all, seed has fallen by the wayside. Then we have seed that has fallen upon stony places. Then we have seed that has fallen among thorns. And then we have seed that has fallen into good ground. The tendency with a lot of preachers is to figure out which one of those grounds represent, which one of those types of soil, types of ground, represents the heart of the child of God, and which is the heart of an individual who is not a child of God. Well, that hasn't been given to me to really figure out. What I like to know, or what I'd like to try to teach from this, and I've tried to before, is which ground do you have this morning? What condition is your heart in this morning? Is it like the wayside? Is it like the stony places? Or is it like the thorny places? Or is it good ground? What is the condition of my heart this morning? How ready am I to receive God's word, to receive the seed? How prepared am I to receive his word? Jesus tells us about the seed that fell by the wayside. That is someone who hears the word but doesn't understand it. Doesn't understand it for whatever reason. I made a couple of little notes. I want to share this with you. This seed was received in the heart, but the heart was not prepared to understand it, or was not prepared to use it. Not prepared to use it wisely. You know, and there's a lot of truth to the old adage, use it or lose it. There's a lot of truth to that. And it can apply in a lot of different areas of life. Because this heart was not prepared, I think it had the potential, but perhaps the focus was wrong. The focus of the heart was on. Maybe the focus was on self. Maybe we come to church sometimes and we're walking in pride. Maybe we're lifted up in pride. Maybe we're thinking about everything that went wrong this morning when we were trying to get ready to go to church. Maybe we're thinking about what's going to be going on after we leave here. Our hearts are not prepared to receive his word. We could have, but we didn't. And whatever we heard at that time, as soon as we walk out the door or even before, the wicked one snatches it away. It's gone. You're not going to get it back. Today is the opportunity that we have. Right now is the opportunity that we have, if God would bless us all together, to hear his word, to hear his teachings, to hear what he would have us to understand, to know, and to use in our lives. Today, you might not have another opportunity. Okay, now I know a lot of churches, before they get through with their service, they're talking about this may be the last opportunity you have, and they're talking about in order to do whatever's necessary to do to so that you'll be saved and go to heaven. That's foolishness. That's not scripture. That's not what we're talking about, obviously, this morning. But today is the opportunity that we have right now to hear from his word. Do you have ears to hear? Was your heart prepared? What did you do this morning to prepare your heart before you came? Well, he goes on and says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, in other words, immediately, right away, with joy, receives it. We're like that sometimes. We hear his word, it lifts us up, and immediately we're rejoicing. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. It goes for a little while, but when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. This person that received the word and received the seed in stony places, this person's heart, you're in agreement with what you've heard. You acknowledge that. There's some degree of understanding there, but there's still some confusion. There's still some confusion that is there. You rejoice over what you've heard. You hear the answers you need to life's problems. You hear what you need in order to overcome the obstacles that you're going to face in the coming days. You hear it, you acknowledge it, you for the most part, you understand it. But in this case, he said it falls in stony places, so the root's not real deep. There's still something lacking, right? I've got this idea. I can go to God's word. I've got a problem. I've got an issue. I've got this obstacle. And lo and behold, I find the answer that I need. I'm going to do it. Problem solved. Don't have to worry about it anymore. It's a quick fix. We have some maintenance shops over there where I work. We work on vehicles. And we have one shop that's called the quick fix shop. You need a new windshield wiper. That's a quick fix. You just need to add some oil. That's a quick fix. But it may not get at the root of the problem. It may not be the heart of the problem. It's just a quick fix. And we have this idea, especially in the culture encourages it. The mentality of the world is kind of like sometimes we talk about a drive-through mentality. You drive through, get it quick, and you go on your way. That's not how God's word typically works. Oh, there's solutions. There's answers. It's what we need is here, and it will immediately address the problem. But that doesn't mean that the problem is immediately solved, or that even the issue might not even go completely away. The obstacle, we may learn to deal with things, and the problem not necessarily completely go away. You know, there's consequences sometimes because. We may even acknowledge, okay, this is the consequences of my sin. This is the consequences of my own actions. I acknowledge that. God, forgive me. I want to do better. I'll try not to do that again. And we can go on. But sometimes those consequences last a long time. So we need God's word to learn how to deal with the consequences, however long that they hang around. Well, here he says that when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, he is offended. It's not as easy as you thought, so you begin to wonder if this is really the route I should have gone to begin with. Is God's word really what I need? I thought it was going to be easier than this. Well, I can't see that God's word is really helping me solve anything. Is this really the truth? Is this really what I need? Look at the next verse. He says, verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Here's someone that's received. Here's the ground. It's full of thorns. It's full of thorns. Did you know that the thorns and the briars, I know you know this, thorns and briars and weeds, they just grow up naturally, don't they? You don't have to cultivate them. You don't have to treat them special. You don't have to fertilize them. You don't have to do anything. They just come up. The weeds and the briars and the thorns. It takes a lot of effort to get all of it cleared out. Here the seed fell in that ground and it sprung up. It sprung up and it began to, produce fruit. Because it says it became unfruitful. That I think that means that it was fruitful for a little while, but the cares, he says, we're not left to doubt what this is. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. That's what the world does. It chokes God's word out of our lives. There's only so much room in my mind. I don't know about you, but there's only so much room in there. And if it's filled with the things of the world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches especially, boy, it's real easy for something like that to fill my mind. And the more that my mind is filled with the things of this world, the less room there is for God's word. Does that make sense? Okay, again, this is a familiar parable. Now, verse 23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. See, you've heard the word. You understand it. You acknowledged it. You didn't stop there, though. You put it to use. And soon, fruit begins to appear. It begins to bring forth fruit. And it says that some of that seed brought forth 100-fold. Man, that's awesome, isn't it? One little seed bringing forth fruit 100 times, however you want to think about it, 100 times the size or 100 times the amount of where it started, of how it started out. 100 times. 100 times greater. Some brought forth 60-fold. Hey, that's still great. Some brought forth 30-fold. That's great too. That's great too. Different seed brings forth different amounts of fruit. Okay? And it's that way with each one of us. Each one of us individually, and with each one of us individually, the gifts and talents that we've been given. The gifts and talents that we've been given. Exercised to their fullest, I may only bring forth 30-fold. But you know what? That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, that's 30 times what I started out with. It has an effect 30 times greater than that one seed had. You may bring forth 60. You may bring forth 100. But it's all multiplying. It's all in the positive. It's all bringing forth fruit. Okay, so I wanted to start there with this parable. Are we prepared to hear from God? And do we come here, it doesn't matter who's standing in the pulpit, do we come to the house of God anticipating hearing from God? Now, you think, well, you're thinking mighty, mighty big of yourself there, aren't you, Brother Matt? No, I'm not. I'm not. I know that it's not of me. Do you not pray that the Lord would be with us? And I hear it every Sunday morning. Lord, bless Brother Matt with a word that we need and so forth. And I know you mean it. I think you do. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God would bless any man to stand before you and to teach you from his word and it actually be what you need right now? I believe that happens from time to time. I know it's happened with me. So do we come to his house prepared to hear his word, to hear from the Lord? Now, this good ground, I want to ask you another question. You don't have to turn there, and most of you can probably quote it. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. When you read the parables of Jesus, you're liable to find all of that in one single parable. One single parable. You'll find reproof. You'll find something that convicts you. When I read about any of those other grounds besides the good ground, that convicts me because I know I've been there. I've come to the house of God, and my heart has, I've not prepared. I've not prepared. I'm like that. I'm like the, you know, and the seed just, you know, the seed comes to me and just bounces off. Bam, bam, bam. It falls by the wayside. I know how that is. There's reproof there, but there's also correction and there's instruction in righteousness. And we see that in so many of the parables. I just want to share that with you and ask the question, do you believe that? Do you believe that God's word right here, inspired by God Almighty, and there's no flaws in it, no errors, it's perfect just as it is, and it is sufficient for whatever we need to get along in this world? And you've heard this before, I know. We're talking about principles of godliness, spiritual principles that help us get along in this material world, if you will. God's word's sufficient for that. We don't have to go to the other philosophies of the world because there's something lacking here. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, complete, Throughly furnished. Furnished through and through. Nothing lacking. All that we need. God's Word doesn't teach you how to be an engineer. It doesn't teach you how to be a doctor. It doesn't teach you how to be a... Well, it does teach you a lot about farming, actually. It doesn't teach you how to do a lot of things, but it teaches you how to be the best engineer and the best doctor and the best farmer and to be godly. And you remember we were talking last Sunday afternoon, we're looking for godly decisions, godly wisdom, godly ways. Let's turn to another, Matthew chapter 25. While we're here, let's go to Matthew chapter 25 and get another parable and begin to go along a little bit further with this. The parables of Jesus. The culture around us, as you well know, we've talked about this a lot, the culture around us, it encourages this worldly thinking, which says to you that you need to be pursuing power and pleasure and the praise of men, too. That's pretty good, too, you know. Power, pleasure, the praise of men. That's what the culture encourages us to do. Seek power, seek pleasure, and seek the praise of men. All those feel so good to the flesh. And in any number of these parables, we learn that we learn right the opposite. That instead of power, we're to be humble. We're to be meek. And we're to acknowledge that everything we have and all the strength we have and anything about us that's any good at all comes from somewhere else. It's not of ourselves. That's what we're taught in God's Word. And instead of pleasures of the flesh, we're to be seeking peace, joy, and righteousness in the kingdom. And instead of the praise of men, we're to be praising God. We're not to seek the praise of men. Matthew chapter 25, let's begin reading in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is as. Okay, now here's one of those where we need to look at the parable as a whole, or at least in big chunks. And we have to be careful about dividing it up into, and this represents that, and this represents this, and let's get the whole picture. For the kingdom of heaven is as. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. A man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. There's a principle in this parable that's going to describe the kingdom of heaven. It's going to give us a picture of the kingdom of heaven. We have a man, he's about to travel. He called his own servants. I like that language. He called his own servants. He didn't call somebody else. He didn't call servants that belonged to somebody. He called his own servants. This man had servants, those who served him. And he called them and delivered unto them his goods. He's about to be gone for a while. And he gives his servants his goods and gives them responsibility to manage them while he's gone. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Both those verses, really, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven. What we have as children of God, we have received from the Lord. It all belongs to him. He has given it to us to use, to manage, to make profitable in our lives. He hasn't given us all the same. He hasn't given us all the same amount, the same degree. What he has given you is just as complete as what he's given me. Doesn't matter how much each one of us have. It is what you have. What you have is what you need. And what you have has been determined by God, and we're to make the best, we're to use it to the fullest. Okay? Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He put them to work, put those talents to use. I don't know, he invested them, he went to the stock market, he did something with them. He did something. And he gained 5 more by using what he had. He made a profit. You know, there's nothing wrong with profit if it's used, if it's gotten by the right means and used in the right way. There's nothing wrong with that, and especially in a spiritual sense. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. I don't see anywhere, any indication in here. Now, looking from a human standpoint, this could have happened. But remember, this is not a, this is a parable, okay? But from a human standpoint, you've got five and I've got two. Man, I wish I had some of your talents. I've only got one, and you've got two, you've got five and more. Why have I only got one? Why did the Lord do that? That's not fair. There's no room for that in the kingdom of heaven, is there? There's no indication in this parable that that took place. The one who was given five went and did something with it, and he gained five more. The one who was given two, he did something with it, and he went and gained two more. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, why did he do that? I mean, at least he got one talent. I've only been given one. Well, at least I've got one. This one who had one, he went and hid it in the earth. Almost like he thought it belonged to him, or that it was his to keep and do what he wanted to with, or something. What's going through his mind? After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. The Lord of those servants comes back. What have you done while I'm gone? How did you manage my goods? And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Boy, to hear those words. And we're not talking about hearing those words when we reach the pearly gates. I want to hear those words right now, don't you? I want to hear those words right now. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Don't we want to experience that now? This is the picture of the kingdom of heaven. You know, I know there's an aspect of the kingdom of heaven that's heaven and immortal glory, where the throne room of God. I realize that, but this is an aspect of the kingdom of heaven that we can experience now. And don't we desire, amen? Don't we desire to hear those words? What more precious words could we ever hear from our Father? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And because we've been faithful, there are rewards, there are benefits, there are blessings we enjoy in and through our obedience. There's promises that we can lay hold of, and the benefits of those promises are wonderful. It is that peace and joy and contentment. And instead of being caught up with the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and being all the briars and thorns and the stones and all of those things, we can enjoy peace and joy and contentment. How do we do that? Taking what God has given us, however small we think it might be or however great it is. I tell you, just remember the to whom much is given, much is required. So that's fine. If you've got one or two talents, you just take what you got and use it. Some of you've been given more talents than that, and you have a greater responsibility to use what you have. And it's so whatever we have, don't we want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And because he was faithful over a few things, he was made ruler over many things. I think that simply means he was given the benefit, the profit, if you will, of those things. And now he's got that much more to rule over, to manage, and to use. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. He doubled his. The one with five doubled his. The one with two, he doubled his. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now here comes the man with one talent. And he says, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. It sounds like to me this servant has not had a good experience with his Lord in the past. For whatever reason, he has not had a good experience with his master. He has seen in his mind that his Lord was a hard man. And he says that you reap where you haven't sown. Now, I wonder if that was really the truth. I mean, after all, if everything has come from if these guys are serving this Lord, then everything that they have has come from him anyway. They may be doing the labor. They may be doing certain things, but everything they have has been given to them of the Lord. All the materials that they have that they need to work with, the opportunity to work, everything that they've been given has come from that Lord. So it is with you and I. Everything we have is his. Everything we have is a gift from his. The ability to do things, the opportunity to do things, the willingness, the desire, everything good that we have comes from the Lord. How can we say, how could we say like this man, Lord, you're reaping where you haven't sown? Why? That doesn't make sense. And gathering where thou hast not strawed. He said, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. And maybe he was thinking, well, if I just don't lose anything, if I just maintain what I've got. And it sounds like to me, I think about that sometimes, just maintaining the status quo, just getting by, just doing the average. You don't diminish any, but you don't increase. Maybe that was his thinking. I don't know. He had this one. He wasn't going to let anything happen to it, but he wasn't going to do anything with it either. That's not the right approach, is it? His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Now that sounds pretty hard, doesn't it? But this is serious. This is serious stuff, isn't it? You can think about it one or two different ways. Well, he only gave me one talent. Or you can think, I've got one talent. These guys over here, they've got a lot greater responsibility. They've got their work cut out for them. They've got five talents and two talents. I've got just one. I'm going to make the best of it. I can focus on this one. I don't have one, two, three, four, five that I got to spread myself out. I got this one. I can focus on that one. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Well, there must have been some truth to that. Must have been some truth to that. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. You notice that? My money. The Lord said, I gave you this. This was mine to begin with. And I left it for you to manage while I was gone. Now, there's a lot of pictures here, really. It is about the kingdom of heaven. It's a parable of the kingdom of heaven. We get a beautiful picture of our kingdom experiences, of each one of us individually living and walking in the kingdom of God while we live here in the world. But it's also, there's a picture here of the church. There is a picture of the church here. Again, the old adage, use it or lose it. Thou hast therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. In other words, with interest. Whatever you gain from it, that's what you should have done. I left it for you to manage. And look what you did. You went and hid it. You buried it in the ground. You should have been putting it to work. You didn't even show it to anybody. You buried it in the ground. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Pretty serious stuff. Now let's read that next verse. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Well, I'll tell you how serious it is. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a lonely, unbearable place for the child of God when the Lord has withdrawn his blessings. It's a lonely, unbearable place. The blessings were withdrawn from the man who was given only one talent, but he didn't do anything with it. Now, just a thought or two. When you look at this and you think about your situation, whether you've been given five or two or one, whatever it might be, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to take what you've been given and use it in the Lord's service. And by that I mean by sharing your blessings with others, sharing the knowledge of the one who has given you those blessings. Sharing your faith with others, it's a difficult thing sometimes, oftentimes. Or just any task that you've been given. Whatever your responsibilities are in life, from younger to older, we're accountable. We're accountable unto God. If we're not accountable to anybody else, and we always are, but if we weren't, we're always accountable to God to make the best use of what He's given us. Sometimes we develop the mind, the thinking that I just can't. And what if I fail? What if I don't meet the standard? What if I don't reach the mark? What if I don't live up to the expectations? Have you ever been afraid of failure? And you've been so afraid of failure, you failed to even try. Right? You've been there. Well, I just expressed really what my thought was, that we should never be afraid of anything except the failure to try. That's the only thing we should fear, is the failure to try. With that kind of mindset, that meets the requirement that we have, the accountability that we have. God has not asked any of us to be perfect, and we know that's impossible. But he is expecting us. He does expect us to make the best use of what we've been given. We're going to miss the mark. We're going to fail sometimes. Failure is no fun. Missing the mark is embarrassing sometimes. I know. Believe me, I know. The only thing that I should be afraid of is the failure to try. The only thing I should be embarrassed about is missing the opportunity. That should bring me shame. That should shame me to miss the opportunity, to let the opportunity go by. Now, don't you imagine this man with the one talent, while he's experiencing that weeping and gnashing of teeth, he's experiencing fear and shame like he's never felt before. There's a couple of more parables I wanted to get to, but just one more thought going back to receiving the word in ground that is prepared, in a heart that is prepared. I want to read this near the end of Matthew chapter 7. Very familiar. This is how serious these things are. And I can't imagine God looking upon His people, looking at you and I individually, seeing our hearts and minds so wrapped up in the culture around us that we are becoming, or perhaps have become, an unprofitable servant. Jesus said this as He closed out this Sermon on the Mount, verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." What a blessing that is. And what's the requirement? To hear His sayings and do them.